Hello, and welcome to Search Content Management. I'm Lauren Horwitz, Executive Editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group. And recently, Box, one of the cloud-based file sharing apps that now competes with traditional enterprise content management systems, announced its IPO. Just a few years ago, these systems were considered rogue applications and a nuisance for IT to deal with. But today, these apps have a place in enterprise IT, and they're garnering a lot of revenue. And even if they are still considered sort of stripped down ECM software. So today, to talk about some of the issues surrounding the Box IPO and what it means for content management, I have with me Ron Miller, who's a content management expert and a sometime contributor to the site. So welcome, Ron.
Thank you, Lauren. It's nice to be here again.
It's great to have you back. I think this is our first conversation for 2015, so it's terrific to have
you. It is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I'm excited about this, too. This was a topic you seemed very hip to talk about. So my first question for you is, this IPO has been a long time in the making. So what took so long?
That's a good question. It seemed to take forever. And, you know, Box announced its IPO last March, so we're talking 9 months. And, you know, after that comes the dreaded quiet period where, under SEC rules, companies can't really say anything having anything to do with performance or, you know, basically anything. They're under, like, the fear of God that if they say anything, they could literally go to jail. And to just give you a sense of how this works, right after they filed their S-1, which is the form that they have to file legally with the Securities and Exchange Commission when they're intending to go public, I called Box PR and asked them a question about the total investment today, you know, which is a publicly known figure. And I was told they couldn't share it with me because of the quiet period rule. So, you know, it gets pretty intense for the company that's involved under this. But at the same time, because it's quiet, you know, at that point, the critics come out of the woodwork. And you wouldn't believe, they came out and they didn't like what they saw on the S-1 form. And particularly, they didn't like the sales and marketing spend and the customer acquisition cost and this, you know, raised some red flags. And quite suddenly, you know, Box went from, you know, this incredibly smart startup darling company to risky startup bat, you know, in a Silicon Valley minute, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's not clear why, and Box hasn't said why, but they decided to hold off on the IPO after that kind of, you know, initial bad reaction to the paperwork. And, you know, weeks of delay stretched into months, and finally 9 months later, they pulled the trigger. I was joking, you know, babies have been born faster than Box went public. But, you know, it finally happened, and it was last Friday the baby was born.
Right. So what does it mean for Box now that, you know, this whole period has finally come to fruition?
Well, you know, I think that for them, they have to think that by any measure, it was a big success, right? They had announced, you know, the way IPOs work, and I'm sure I didn't know, so many of our listeners probably won't know, but what the company does and what Box did is they set a price range, and, you know, their price range was $11 to $13 per share, and they sold like 12.5 million shares at $14 per share. And they do this like the day before they actually start selling publicly on the market. They have bankers and investment companies buy all the shares, and then they have this big chunk of money, in this case, $175 million. So it went public at that $14 per share price on Friday morning and shot up over $23 a share and pretty much stayed there all day. So as of this morning, it was down a bit, like 18 or 19. But, you know, overall, they have a bunch of cash now on the books, and this gives them, you know, a lot more room to work. And, you know, it's worth mentioning that, you know, pricing is tricky business because if you go too low, people say you left money on the table. And if you go too high, you risk people saying it's not worth it, right?
Right.
So you have to kind of walk that line. And companies want a successful launch on that first day, and Box seems to have walked that line as well as, you know, you can expect.
Now, this is going to start to delve into some issues that we've talked about before together in tweet jams and the like and in articles. But what does a successful IPO mean for competitors? And there's a whole spectrum, right, of competitors who are like Box and more traditional ECM. And so I'll let you take it away. But what does it mean for that spectrum of competitors?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think even pulling back a little bit further, for whatever reason, you know, people in Silicon Valley are seeing this IPO as like a technology bellwether. And as went Box, might go the entire tech industry in 2015 when it, you know, comes to going public. So everyone was watching this closely to see how Wall Street reacted, you know, to technology startups in general. And it was really a test of the subscription model and the cloud model, right? So there was a lot riding on this IPO, and frankly, you know, it put a lot of pressure on Box. So as for other companies out there like Dropbox and Ignite and others of that ilk that, you know, are considered competitors of Box, it's best to give them confidence that their turn's coming, right? And, you know, Box has paved the way for others and proved that even though, you know, there was a big delay, it can be done, and investors, you know, will pour money into this. So that has to bode well for them.
Right.
But I think one other thing that we should mention is that the investor media like CNBC and, you know, those, they made a big point about this being enterprise-class software and, you know, that people pay for enterprise software. And they were contrasting that very much with consumers who like free.
You know, when we decided to do this, I started reading up a little bit, and I read an article on the Box IPO that basically said whether, you know, its initial success on Wall Street is not debatable. But what about its long-term prognosis when, you know, its main features are cloud storage and file sharing? And is that an application or just add-on features to other ECM-type products that are already out there? So is it ripe for acquisition? Is it really enough to stand on its own? And also to your point, I guess I'll just add one other thing to the mix. You know, when there's, according to this article, only about 44,000 companies actually paying for Box, what does that mean for its long-term future?
Okay, there's a lot of stuff to cover. I think that it's probably unfair to paint Box as simple cloud storage. And I will tell you that I had a conversation with the CEO, Aaron Levy, at BoxWorks in the fall, and I asked him about this. I said, you know, storage is becoming commoditized. How can you live in storage? And he said, storage is not the business model. Storage is a feature of content management. So from his perspective of what he sees his company doing, it's not simple cloud storage. It's just an aspect of what he does. And he pointed out that, you know, for big business users, for his biggest clients, they don't pay for the storage at all. It's free. It's offered with the platform. So, you know, he admitted it's commoditized and he doesn't want to live there. And I don't think he ever wanted to live there. And I wrote a piece the day before the IPO, and I pointed out that I've been talking to, you know, to him since 2009, when they became an enterprise, when they sort of switched gears and became, you know, from consumer to enterprise. And at the time, he said, you know, he didn't want, his goal wasn't to go after, you know, HP and EMC storage and NetApp and those kind of companies. His goal was, you know, to take on SharePoint, and particularly SharePoint, they went after in a big way with their billboard stunts that they did on Route 101 in California at the time, like, why are you using SharePoint? And I think he made it clear that he wanted to be a content management vendor. He didn't want to be an online storage vendor. So from that perspective, you know, even early on, he recognized that he couldn't hang his hat on storage and live there forever. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence that they were transitioning to the enterprise at the same time you know, the iPad was coming out, which was the 2009 timeframe. So I think that a company like Box, that's been born in the cloud, that's come of age at the same time as mobile, was having, you know, it's having such a huge impact on content management, on moving content around and making sure that it's secure as it moves through the world. That gave them an advantage of sorts because they were there at the cutting edge. The traditional content management vendors, you know, IBM and HP and OpenText and, you know, Oracle and all of these other guys that have been doing it for, you know, 15, 20 years, Documentum, you know, they had to recalibrate what they did to match what was happening in the world. And that meant matching what Box was doing. So I think Box was, like, right there. And every content management vendor now knows that they have to adapt to the technology.
So, you know, I think that certainly is the counterpoint. And the question is, you know, and I think one that we'll be looking at throughout the year, what is that sweet spot of sort of enterprise content management, fully featured software? And where does it reach that tipping point between, you know, the ease of use that Box and Dropbox have pioneered and the full features like the workflows and audit trail and some of the other things that traditional ECM vendors have pioneered but haven't always been user-friendly? Would you agree with that?
I would, and I mean, I would say that the traditional vendors have a role, and especially for, you know, the next 5 to 10 years, you're not going to see them go away. But I think that you're going to start to see them move more towards Box's way of doing stuff. And I say that, you know, with Box in a way also moving towards them, right? It's a two-way thing that's happening. So the vendors that have been there and have, you know, been these traditional content management vendors are beginning to recognize and have been recognizing for quite some time, I think, that they need to, you know, deal with this idea of content in motion and, you know, that content doesn't sit fixed behind the firewall anymore. You know, I think it's one of the big reasons Microsoft bought Yammer and began to integrate it into SharePoint. But at the same time, Box has recognized they need to do stuff like, you know, workflow and metadata and, you know, security and governance and all of those things that you kind of expect from a mature content management vendor. So Box might not be as fully featured as, say, you know, Documentum, which has been around for 15 or 20 years and has been, you know, designed to work in a hardcore enterprise environment. But at the same time, Box is doing a lot of things and changing the way people think about content management. And, you know, I think the two are coming together. And I think it's fair to say that maybe the traditional vendors are going to have to move a little bit more towards Box than vice versa. And but it is going to be a coming together of visions to make it work, because we need, as users, we need stuff that's easy to use. And let's face it, the stuff that these guys were delivering for the last 15 or 20 years was functionally sound and worked for IT, but it was tough to implement. It was huge, you know, development cycles. It was really difficult to manage.
Yes, and I think you're absolutely right. What they have highlighted is that usability gap in some of the traditional software.
But I think it's also a mistake to say that because they've simplified, you know, the way that we interact with the software, that they are somehow, you know, dumbing it down or watering it down. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think they're evolving and they're moving much more towards a more traditional model in a sense, but, you know, on their terms, I guess. Yep. Is the way I'd put it.
Yep, keeping the interface simplified, whether it's complex on the back end.
Right, exactly.
Yes. Well, Ron, as always, you've taken what might be an isolated event. We're looking at, you know, one company's IPO, but you've shed light on it as being, you know, a trend really for the whole industry for content management. So, as always, we really appreciate your kind of parsing these issues for us and helping us out.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, I hope you'll come back. And for more on content management, you can always check out searchcontentmanagement.com. And until next time, I'm Lauren Horwitz.